You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
That prior to that, I had suffered some other abuses as a child, and I'd been on my own. I was financially independent at 13 years old, and I harbored a lot of resentment. I was a very angry young man at that point in my life. I didn't know that, but I was. Much so that if I ever saw anybody abusing anybody, a guy hit a girl, I'd go deck them. I'd clean house.
Listen, you and I, when I get back to Florida, you and I have got to get to know each other, because I was living in a rooming house completely alone with no adult supervision at 14 years of age. You said you were economically responsible totally for yourself at 13. You and I have got to sit down and talk with each other. I too had a problem with anger, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening or viewing right now.
Yeah,
we'll get into that, but continue with this story. This is wild.
So how
did this help you that this man beat you?
Well, so because I was so angry, I wanted to hurt people, and I didn't see it as wanting to hurt people. I thought I was like the knight in shining armor. I only hurt people who hurt people, right? I had convinced myself that I was a good person, that I wasn't angry, that I was just doing justice, if you will. But in my mind and in my heart, I wanted to kill people who hurt children. And had this not happened, there's a chance that I would have gone down that road. And there's a very good chance that I'd either be dead or incarcerated to this day because of it. I had plans, you know. As we go out there, and this guy, and then he raped me, and I ended up playing dead and escaping. And the police believe that saved not only me, but other people as well. But during that time, I had an experience, and, you know, as Paul would say, I don't know if it was in the body or in the spirit, but I had one of those, what they call out-of-body experiences during this time. And God was very real and very present. And I had that peace that we talked about. In the midst of all of this, as I'm laying on the, between the front and back seat, being hammered with a nightstick, there was no sense of pain, no physical harm that I could feel. I could hear bones crack. I could hear my skin opening. I could feel the blood trickling, but there was no pain. And I had that out-of-body experience, and I had this peace that God gave me. And before I left the car, before I escaped, I had already forgiven this man. Now, I hadn't forgiven anybody for anything. And I didn't even realize this until a couple weeks later. I'm now out of the hospital, and I'm convalescing in a home, and I'm heavily medicated. They had put me on a bunch of pain medications. And someone called me, and this person I knew was an arms dealer. They sold weaponry to both law enforcement and cartels down in South Florida. And they knew my desire to take out people who hurt children. And they said, we found him, meaning the police had been looking for this individual, and this guy knew where he was. And he says, you want to pull the trigger or you want me to? And I said, and out of my mouth, I didn't even realize that I had read these scriptures. I said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's the cop's job. Let them deal with it. I've already forgiven them. And when I heard myself say that, it just kind of took me aback, because I don't think I'd ever forgiven anybody of anything prior to that.
So who said this? Who said, do you want to kill him?
It's an old roommate of mine that had somehow located this individual that was on the run. So after I had escaped, I ran from the Everglades into the town of Davie, barefoot, still handcuffed, still covered in blood. Matter of fact, the dried blood was now the only thing holding what was left of my clothes that he had ripped off of me. I tried to find some help, but it's now 4 or 5 in the morning, and I couldn't use a phone. I'm still handcuffed. I saw some payphones, but they were useless to me. And I ran into a guy on the street, and I asked him to call the cops for me. And I think it's pre-911, but he refused. And he's like, I can't get involved. I said, listen, I don't know where I am. I don't know who you are. You just call the cops. You'll be gone before they get here. But he said, no, but there is a bar in Hollywood, Florida, that's open 24 hours. And he gave me directions. So then I ran from Davie to Hollywood, and I found this bar, and I went in there. And I told him I needed him to call the cops, and they refused. And I said, I'm not leaving until someone calls the cops.
Why would they refuse to call the cops?
I don't know. I guess some guy who's handcuffed, I, you know, to this day, it's a mystery to me, unless they're just up to no good and don't want the cops there, which is likely, but or just the fact that it freaked him out to see some guy covered in blood and handcuffed. But again, I'm asking him to call the cops. So, I mean, what could I be trying to get away with?
What is the matter with people? I don't understand.
Yeah. It's so they literally, two guys literally picked me up by each arm and threw me out. And I rolled into the street and I stood up and I saw a car coming. And I just sort of stood there and I thought to myself, well, they'll either stop or they won't. At this point, I didn't care. And he did. It happened to be I think it was a Davie police officer who was taking a girl to the hospital who had just been gang raped. And he told me, he says, listen, I'm going to uncuff you and then I'm going to call this in, but I got to leave you because I really got to get this girl to the hospital. And apparently they were out looking for me because the passenger who was in my car when I got pulled over had gone to the police station to bail me out. And after a few hours, they realized I wasn't showing up. So there was already folks out looking for me. Anyway, so he uncuffs me, he calls it in, and before he could even really pull away, there was FDLE, Florida Highway Patrol, Davie, Broward Sheriff's, Hollywood Police. They were all converging on me, and they asked me if I could tell them where this all took place. And I said, I don't think I could, but I could show you. And they said, man, you got to get to the hospital. You can't, you know, go ride. And I said, listen, I ran here. I'm pretty sure that I could ride in a car back. And we did. And when we got there, he was gone, but he had left so much evidence behind. I mean, his fingerprints with my blood on my ID in the car. I mean, just apparently he had tried to chase after me when I ran off. Again, fortunately, being a track star at the time, I ran pretty fast and I ran through the Everglades. I will say that I ran on the other side of the canal. If you know how the Everglades are set up, anywhere there's a road, there's a canal for drainage. And I ran on the other side of the canal so that if he did come to, because what happened was I kicked him in the head a few times and he was out cold for a little bit. And that's how I got away. But I didn't want him to follow me in the car. So I ran on the other side of the canal from the road. Apparently he took off on foot.
I thought you said that you pretended to be dead.
I did. And that's what allowed him to stop beating me long enough for me to be able to get.
Kick him.
Yeah. So he was still hitting and I was just laying there. And quite frankly, again, that presence of God, because when he would poke the nightstick straight into my side, it didn't so much as create an oomph, you know, no exhale of air, nothing. And so he laid back and rested. It had been many hours that he was going at it. So he was tired. And I took advantage of that. God took advantage of that.
But if he raped you, did that satiate him and that's when he decided to leave? Or
no, he wasn't done yet. You know, he wanted me to be dead. You know, again, his preference was dead people. So he hadn't gotten there.
Oh.
And you know, he told me when we were in the car, I asked him what he was doing. Why are you doing this? And he told me, he says, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to he used a word that we won't use on air. And I said, oh, well, at least I'll be dead. You know, so it was my thinking at the time. But the fact that forgiveness came in and it allowed me also to forgive prior issues, prior hurts, it freed me from so much of that anger and resentment and violence that was in my life at that point.
So it's kind of like you have cancer, you can leave it there and it'll grow, or you can actually cut, taking a chance of, you know, being hurt permanently, mm-hmm. You can cut the cancer out. And in this case, what a strange way for you to be relieved, because it brought it to a peak.
Sure. You know, well, it brought it to a head. And so part of it is that, that I didn't even realize how angry I was until mm-hmm. forgiveness crept in and removed it. Mm-hmm. You know, anger had controlled much of my thinking, my life, my attitude, relationships, forgiveness, resentments, you know, that root of bitterness.
Yeah.
It had pretty much dominated my life without me even realizing it. And so it took that level for me to wake up and realize that God is still in control. He's still in charge and he has forgiven me. Who am I to not forgive others? And to trust him. Part of that forgiveness process, he says, vengeance is mine. He'll take care of it. If we really trust him, we'll trust him with his style and version and timing of justice as well. And
Craig, they did catch this guy.
Yeah, they did. He's still incarcerated today.
Had he murdered anybody at this point?
That was a lot of speculation. There's never been an actual charge.
Go to jail?
Yes, he's still incarcerated today. Yeah.
Really? How many years ago was this? 20?
More than. This is over 45 years. This is closing in on 50 years ago. So.
Yeah. How old were you at the time this all went down?
I was 16, and I'm 62 now. So yeah, whatever that.
Oh, means. You were only 16. So you were a young, good-looking, probably had hair on your head.
Yeah, back when I had hair, yeah.
You were a track star.
Yeah.
And he was attracted to your young, masculine body. Wow. It's just strange. So this helped you get over your anger. So what did they finally get him on that he's already been in jail for?
Attempted murder, rape, impersonating an officer, grand theft auto. There's a variety of.
They're so quick to let people out these days. I'm shocked he's still in there. Thank God Almighty.
Yeah. And I think given the nature of his crime and part of it was you got to remember back when they caught him in the morgue at that time, there was no law against necrophilia. So this case and another case with a couple of young men and they killed the one young man's mother created the law in Florida. So now it is illegal. It's one of those things where do we really need to make a law? I mean, you know, who until it happened a few times, they never thought we needed a law to say this wasn't right. So now there is a law. But I think the nature of the crime in general and the actions leading up to it have a lot to do with why he's still there. And I get a letter from the parole board every time he's up for parole.
Did you ever go back and try to win him to the Lord?
I've prayed for him. So funny story, I used to run a faith-based recovery center that also had a transitional program for guys coming out of incarceration. And he wrote a letter to the director, which happened to be me at the time. He didn't know it, seeking to enter that program if he were paroled. Well, obviously that can't happen. He and I aren't supposed to be anywhere near each other. And so I wrote anonymously back a letter explaining that program didn't accept sex offenders. So he was not eligible. And I just sort of left.
You never let him know it was you?
No. But in that letter, he did say that he had found the Lord. And I pray it's true.
Wow.
Quite frankly, people writing.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America's new clinic is now open in Port St. Lucie. Do you suffer from poor sleep? This can be a root cause of Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has tools to address sleep issues. Also, in the observational study of their protocol, 75% of patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. These are amazing results. There is now hope for loved ones suffering from cognitive decline. Online at atca.ai or 772-298-4477.